It is Monday, September the 29th, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerwick.net, Gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news and rumors since 1997. Welcome to another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that continues to tell it like it is. I am joined with Frank D., my longtime tag team partner, and let's say hi to him and say what's up.
Steve, I don't know what's up, but it's Monday, and I'll tell you what's down, and it's the WWE's ratings are really, really down right now. I mean, what was it, 2.6 last week they did? So that's 2.6. It kind of reminds me to the ratings, Steve, that they were doing pre-Attitude Era back in the day. Isn't that funny that we're in 2014, and yet their numbers are exactly what they were back in, like, 96, 97. That's crazy. But before we get into the wrestling sports entertainment matters of the day, I would like to send a special shout-out out there to four special people. I want to send a shout-out to my main girl there, Margaret, and Jason, and Angel, and Destiny. Just want to say what's up to them, and back to you, Webmaster.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to say thank you to everybody out there that tweeted me, Facebooked, messaged me, emailed me about the interviews we did this last week here on the Gerwick Report podcast. Of course, we welcome Teddy Long, longtime wrestling manager, general manager on WWE television. And I also want to thank Frankie Kazarian, who came on the show last week as well. And what I liked about these, Frank, is these two guys came on here and told it like it was. They didn't sugarcoat things. In fact, we're talking to Frankie Kazarian before the interview, and he's like, I'm tired of political correctness. I just want to say what's on my mind and speak the truth. And that's what we do here on the Gerwick Report podcast. We keep it real.
Absolutely. We keep it 1,000 at all times. You know, we don't come out here and sugarcoat anything. We don't come out here and put censors on people and say, oh, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. We tell it exactly how it is, and that's what we've been doing since day one.
You got into the Frankie Kazarian interview about TNA not offering talent to particular shows, including ourselves. In the Teddy Long interview, we brought up racism in wrestling and how real it is, and Teddy kept it real. He said, hey, yeah, it's gotten better over the years, racism in wrestling, but it's still there. It's still in the WWE, and it's not just limited to professional wrestling. Racism is everywhere, and I know for a fact, Frank, you kind of got into a little bit of an online debate about racism in wrestling.
Yeah, I ain't going to mention any names, Steve, about that situation, but yeah, I got into a debate here about racism and someone out there trying to tell me that Mark Henry being in one of the biggest storylines right now is the fact that the black man is being pushed in the WWE, or that Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston and Big E, you know, their stable is on the house shows, so they're getting pushed. Here's the deal with that. I like to go after people with fact, not fiction. And the fact that Mark Henry's involved in the storyline and that he's been jobbed out two or three times already has done nothing to promote the black man. Rusev has probably beaten every black man they have on the WWE roster, period. So that's what I was trying to make as far as that situation goes. And, you know, here's the thing. It might come across that, you know, we're playing a race card or something right here on the show, and we're not doing that. Teddy Long is a man that's been around the business for 30 years. He's been around in major organizations, and if Teddy Long has seen it, Teddy Long is going to talk about it. And that's exactly what we got out of that situation. And my suggestion is, in the future, is that if you don't believe that racism doesn't exist in 2014, I suggest you look around you and see what's really going on in the world. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, I thought Teddy was very open and honest, talking about over the years he's heard the N-word, he's been called the N-word. I'm not sure people that have been called that over the years, Frank, is necessarily one that will want to talk about it. And yet he was very open and honest about being called that, referred to that. And that's what I appreciate here on this show, that we are not going to sugarcoat anything, as you said. And Teddy told it like it was. And anybody that didn't hear that Teddy Long interview, you know, definitely go to Gerwick.net, go to the audio section at the bottom of the page and check those out. Because, you know, Frank, we're bombarded with so many things out there being PC, politically correct, sugarcoating things, not telling it like it is. You got the news on every day telling you things that are not really going on or spinning stories a certain way. And we're coming out here and trying to keep it real. 100%, 1,000%. never backing down, because we're going to get into a couple different issues here on this podcast, cause a couple things that are really bothering us as well. But I appreciate that from Teddy, and I agree with you, Frank. We're not trying to overexpose or bash what's going on. We're not trying to overplay racism. But again, if you deny that racism is going on, I think you're delusional. And, you know, I'm watching, again, Ring of Honor this weekend, and I saw Jay Lethal against Caprice Coleman. You know, we've said it so many times here, Frank, that, you know, if you want to watch a black man wrestle and actually get a push, definitely go to ROH. And you know, honestly, Frank, if it's not for ROH right now, I would lose my wrestling sanity, because what's going on with TNA is total garbage, total boredom. It's been TNA dead brand for how long? WWE is in a total coma. 2.6 ratings. The ratings are going down. They are pre-Attitude Era numbers. And right now, and I don't mean to sound like a ROH shill or an ROH mark, but, you know, we keep it real here. You know, really, Frank, if it's not for ROH, you know, my enthusiasm for wrestling is way down, and I'm tired of the sports entertainment. And right now, ROH is the only show giving me pro wrestling right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. You know, here in Southern California, we don't get the ROH TV show. And I'm going to be honest with you, Steve, you know, we were both at one point WWE Network subscribers, and as of today, we're not. You know, we're going to get into that a little bit. But I keep my wrestling, I guess you say, enthusiasm up by going to YouTube and just watching clips of different things that I've been seeing. Once upon a time, I had no idea who Prince Devitt was. Past couple of months, I've been getting myself associated, you know, with him and watching his matches or whatever, and just looking at a bunch of other different crop of talent that I never would have given the time of day for, because, you know, you're so schooled and trained on the mindset of WWE, and if it ain't in WWE, it doesn't really mean anything. So that's what I do. But I, you know, and a whole in wrestling, it's garbage right now. It's been garbage for years, and I'm sorry, but you know what? Obviously, with the numbers right now, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, John Cena, Kane, Orton, The Authority, they're not really doing it.
No, and we're going to talk about ratings here in a minute, but I just don't understand. People are – Monday Night Football, this is on, Big Bang Theory is back now, I guess, weekly new episodes. It's 101 excuses, and just realize that wrestling stinks right now. I mean, you know, Frank, it's hard for to even say wrestling, because nobody even says wrestling anymore.
Right.
It's sports entertainment. And when I watch, you know, I turned on Ring of Honor this weekend. It's like, it's the best wrestling on television right now. And they actually say wrestling.
Right.
And I know for a while it was TNA wrestling, but now it's sports entertainment. We got sports entertainment, obviously, bombarded with WWE. And I guess really, you know, as if you want to summarize what's going on, there's just no wrestling anymore. And that's why I really enjoy turning on Ring of Honor on the weekend. You know, I watched Ring of Honor last weekend instead of the pay-per-view because, as you said, we don't have the network. And I was really, you know, I'm sitting there debating, should I get the network to watch the Night of Champions pay-per-view? And there was nothing on the Night of Champions that interested me at all. Not at all. And I like Brock Lesnar, and I like him as champion, but I don't want to see Brock Lesnar versus John Cena for the third time again.
Right.
It didn't interest me. So I didn't get it. I didn't order the pay-per-view. I didn't order the WWE Network. I just said, you know, forget it. Maybe if they have enough Monday Night War episodes built up, maybe, you know, I might turn the network back on. Maybe for the Survivor Series. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Hell in the Cell's coming up. Doesn't look like anything's interesting me. So, Frank, they need to change the flavor of WWE programming right now, because we might as well talk about it right here as we get into a lot of issues. 2.6 is pre-Monday Night Wars numbers. And if you watch the Monday Night Wars series on WWE Network, you know, you'll see a lot of times it'll say 2.4, 2.5, 2.6. And there's, you know, talk about on the show is that's not a good number. Their viewership is way down. Primetime wrestling is played out. And yet here in 2014, the WWE rating is 2.6, Frank. And I don't know. I don't hear a lot of panic mode from WWE. I don't know if they're just going to say, you know, football's back, and that's what's going on. But I'd be very alarmed right now in WWE what's going on with the programming and the ratings numbers currently with Raw.
I would be alarmed right now with everything that's going on in my business, you know, from the WWE network to the ratings on down. And, you know, it's just like when we were talking about with Frankie Kazarian, you know, in the last interview. I believe in the trickle-down effect of if WWE is doing good, then the rest of the business is going to do good as well. And right now, the rest of the business isn't doing good because WWE isn't doing good. There is nothing about wrestling that makes you want to watch the show. There's nothing that's going to stand out unless you're watching Ring of Honor. And unfortunately, Ring of Honor is unavailable in all areas. So that's where the problem lies there. But, you know, with WWE, they're going to sugarcoat things. You know, they're going to make it seem like, oh, it's Monday Night Football, instead of saying that, okay, it's because our creative writing team sucks. And then I'll let the talent be themselves, and really the talents are supposed to be a you know, they're supposed to be an extended version of themselves, you know, putting into those characters. And when you can't do that, when you have scripted promos, you know, and not really feeling genuine out there in front of the TV screen, see, that's one of the biggest problems that I think the WWE faces right now, is that they're not being genuine with the audience. When I look on the TV right now and I see a big jacked up guy like a Titus O'Neil or, you know, a Heath Slater getting beat down by a bunny, Steve, that really just shows you right now where that mindset is at in that company, in that product. And exactly why the rating is a 2.6. I don't think it should come as anybody. It shouldn't come as a surprise to you or me when you think about that in retrospect of why the rating is so low.
Maybe they can debut a squirrel. It could be Squirrel versus the Bunny.
Well, you know what? We've had situations where we had the gobbledygooker debut. You know, we've had times like this. I mean, hey, you know, Doink the Clown was cool back in the day when he was a heel. Matt Bourne, God rest his soul, but hey, it's like we're back to that era again, Steve, of the, you know, the clowns, and, you know, now we got the bunnies. And I'm just waiting for them to bring out the trash man again, and, you know, have a plumber. You know, I'm just waiting for all this stuff to happen all over again, because this is where they're going.
You know, I don't need to see grown men telling me to suck it anymore, Frank. I don't need to see crotch chops. I don't need to see mindless TNA, and I'm not talking about Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. I don't need to see Playboy pillow matches and all these other dumb matches they would come up with, any way to get the women down to their bikinis. But what's really missing today, and it's something I think Frankie was talking about as well, is just where's the edginess in wrestling anymore? Where is the creativity?
Right.
And again, Frank, I don't need to go back to the Attitude Era with that content per se, but I need edgy storylines. I need edgy characters. I need something that grasps my interest in wrestling. And, you know, honestly, Frank, I've said it before on this podcast, I got rid of satellite television. I don't have USA Network anymore. The only way I can watch Raw is to watch the 90-minute condensed version on Hulu.
Right.
And, Frank, honestly, I don't even want to do that anymore. Like Tuesday, I'll turn on and start watching, and it's just like 15 minutes. I want to turn it off.
Right.
There is nothing there that's gripping me. The storylines are generic, boring. There's no creativity. There's no I mean, you know, if Vince Russo was correct in saying there's like 30 writers now for WWE, and that may be an exaggerated number, but certainly it's not a two-man process anymore. How is WWE justifying paying all these guys when what they're getting is total garbage?
I just don't understand, Steve, how it could be the process back in the day could be of a couple of guys on a writing team, and you're doing the most, you know, successful numbers you've ever done, and you have maybe 12 or 20 writers on the team now, and your numbers are in the toilet. I mean, like you just said, how can they justify paying these guys? Well, they're not.
I mean,
obviously the creativity that's being expressed right now on the show is the reason why you got lowballed with your TV rights fees.
I mean, a bunny.
Right.
That spent 40 hours or 50 hours a week writing the show to come up with a bunny?
Right.
That's creative? I mean, you talk about the creative staff. That's creative? I'm seeing nothing on WWE television that's worth me even turning on the 90-minute condensed version on Hulu right now. I see nothing on TNA Impact Wrestling right now that's gripping my interest. And we might as well tie it together with Bound for Glory. I mean, Frank, in October, I know it's hard to believe, but supposedly this is the biggest pay-per-view of the year with TNA Wrestling. And where is it going to be held this year? It's in Tokyo, Japan. It's being promoted by Wrestle One, which is the Great Muda's promotion. They're paying for the production. And TNA is only having to put up the money for the talent, pay the talent, and book their flights and their hotel. Everything else is being handled by Wrestle One. They went this direction because, honestly, Frank, and we tell it like it is here on this show, they can't sell out anywhere. I mean, they have the hot shows in New York, but if they ran New York again, they're not going to be as hot, and they're not going to sell out. There is no place they can run Bound for Glory domestically that's going to be a hot show that's going to sell out. So let's cut the money down to pay for that show. Let Wrestle One promote it. And I'm reading, you know, today that Bound for Glory is not even a top priority in TNA right now. And this is supposed to be the number one pay-per-view of the year. And it goes back to something we've said so many times. If they don't care, about their pay-per-view, if WWE doesn't care about Night of Champions, why should I give two damn about it?
Right.
Why should I give 2 cents or two minutes of my time to watch these shows? Because, you know, Frank, they're not putting any effort into these shows.
No.
I mean, I didn't see Night of Champions, but everything I read about it was average, generic, nothing special. And now you got TNA Bound for Glory coming up. And at one time, you know, Bound for Glory was their show, was their pay-per-view of the year. They built to it. You know, we would talk about, you know, what are they going to do for Bound for Glory? What are they leading to? What are the matches they're setting up for it? And they're not setting up anything for it. They're letting the Great Muda basically run the show. And, you know, Frank, if they don't care about Bound for Glory, and we've reached out to TNA previously to say, hey, give us some talent, promote Bound for Glory on our show. Well, if they don't care, then why do I care, Frank? Because they need as much positive promotion as they can get, and apparently they don't even care about the show to send their talent out to put the show over. So if they don't care, why should we care?
Right, and that's exactly the point. If they don't care, I surely don't give a damn. You know, because I don't have a problem with them bringing Bound for Glory to another country. I mean, we've seen WrestleMania be held in Canada. We've seen SummerSlam held in England. So that doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is that they could have done the show right here, probably in New York at Manhattan Center, and probably got a decent crowd to come and see the show. I mean, Bound for Glory is supposed to be their big show. It's supposed to be their WrestleMania, their Starrcade, their big event. And, you know, for it to not be one of the right now on the mindset of the company to make this thing work and to make sure that this is a successful show, I really question why they are even involved in this business. You know, this business is about making money. It's about putting asses in the seats. It's about, you know, athleticism. It's about, you know, gripping storytelling. TNA is not doing any of that right now. And I don't understand why, you know, when you have a situation where we here at the Gerd Report podcast, we reach out to TNA to get talent to come on here and promote Bound for Glory, promote the fact that you're going to be in Tokyo, promote the fact that you're going to be working with Wrestle One, promote the fact that this is going to be on pay-per-view, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime situation because this is the first time that they've actually had a pay-per-view. TNA is in a pay-per-view that's going to be all the way from Japan, you know, and it's supposed to be a big deal, and it's really not feeling a big deal. There is no buzz right now about Bound for Glory like there should be.
Absolutely not. And you were talking about, well, maybe they should have held the event in New York City, the Manhattan Center. Well, we just had how many tapings air that was from the Manhattan Center, from New York. So now you're going to run, a couple months later, the biggest show of the year from the same building?
See, I would have done it that way.
You know, what it reminds me of, Frank, is every time we watch TNA, it's always from the Orlando, the studios there down at Disney down there, okay? And then I turn on the pay-per-view, and what do I see? I see the damn same studio.
Right.
There's nothing special about it. It's the same venue. It's the same fans. It's the same everything. You would think for Bound for Glory, if that is truly your number one show of the year, put it in a building that we don't see very often that can sell out and have a hot crowd. But obviously they can't do that.
The thing is this, too. TNA is not the only ones guilty of this situation either. WWE, pay-per-views. Every month, you look at the pay-per-views now, and it's the same set every single month. You know, it's the Raw set used now as the main stage. There is no creativity anymore when it comes to these shows as far as, you know, cosmetically the set. It's just the same damn stage. Nothing new. And they wonder why the fans aren't excited anymore when you go see WWE shows. What could be going on here? Why they aren't excited? Okay, creativity is gone. And on one problem there, Steve, that I see what is the biggest problem of them all, is that you open the show up now, and it's a cold open. It just goes right to the arena, and then Triple H's music hits, and they come out to the ring. There is no more, you know, there's no more pyrotechnic display for Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. I'm just thinking to myself, maybe that's one of the contributors of why the show sucks. Because it doesn't even look like Raw anymore. You know, it doesn't have the same vibe. You look at TNA, and what I would have done with Bound for Glory is I would have not had all those tapings back-to-back-to-back at the Manhattan Center. I would have maybe did one and then say, okay, from the success that we've had here from tonight, we're going to come back in October for Bound for Glory. And I guarantee you they would have probably did a good house if they had done it that way. But now you've overexposed that market, and then you're going to go back again. I see they're going to go back again to New York. And I just think they're going to kill the marketplace real fast.
You know, that's what I appreciate about doing interviews with Vince Russo, Teddy Long, Frankie Kazarian, because we do this podcast, and I don't want to sound like it's negative, negative, everything stinks, everything's bad, but you know what? At the end of the day, I don't want to watch WWE. I don't want to watch Raw. I don't want to watch SmackDown. And no disrespect to the younger talent, but I'm not digging NXT. It's not my thing. I don't want to watch it. I don't have the network now anyways. But when I had it, I wouldn't watch NXT. And again, it's no disrespect to the younger talent. But the reason that it's over right now and people are talking about it is because the main product stinks.
Yeah.
And TNA has been comatose for so long now that it doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't watch Impact. I can't watch Impact. It drives me nuts. I mean, when I was watching it, Frank, I wanted to pull my hair out every time it was on.
Right.
The storylines are ass backwards. The characters are not interesting. Even the characters that are interesting, they don't present them in an interesting way that I don't care anymore. And I don't want to sound like an ROH shill. And the problem with talking about ROH on this show is, to the masses, not everybody's watching ROH.
Right.
As you said, ROH is not available on the West Coast to a larger degree. And I just recently started watching ROH on a weekly basis, but if it wasn't for ROH, I probably wouldn't watch any wrestling during the week. And that's a sad commentary because, you know, I grew up watching wrestling. Frank D and I could talk 3-4 hours at a time on telephone conversations outside of the podcast talking about wrestling because we're just so passionate about it. And we do this podcast, and I come out here and I try to talk about some positive things, something I like. And other than ROH, there's nothing really positive to talk about other than all the interviews. And, you know, I'm talking about the Teddy Long interview because it was very interesting, very engaging guy. And I got to give Teddy a lot of credit because I know he doesn't do a lot of interviews, but he came out here and he told it like it was. And when you were talking about how much disdain you have for Ric Flair right now, and to call him, you know, Dick Flair, the name that Shane Douglas would call him, you know, he said, hey, you must have had some dealings with Ric Flair. And you say, no, it's just everything you hear about him, everything that he says now behind the scenes. You know, Teddy did everything he could say, but to say that he didn't like Ric Flair. You know, he said, hey, you know, I've had my problems. I've had my issues with Ric Flair. I mean, that's genuine. That's keeping it real. And that's what I appreciate about the interviews that we did is that they're very real, very genuine. And as I said, other than these interviews, Frank, it's like nothing positive to talk about in wrestling right now other than ROH.
Right. And that's the thing that I love, too, about the format that we provide here for guys to come out and say exactly what's on their mind and just let go and let it rip. And that's what we do anyways. Yeah, I don't like Dick Flair. I really can't stand Ric Flair. I cannot stand the guy. Okay? And it's not because I've had any personal dealings with him. It's just because of all the reports, Steve, that I've heard over the years is how much Ric Flair is a complete asshole. To a lot of fans, to just people who, you know, people who have come in contact with him, to think that he's just, you know, you are the stuff, and I'll use that word stuff on here. You got a guy here who lived his gimmick, Steve. And the only thing that Flair can teach anybody in this business today is how to go bankrupt.
Or how to drink.
How to drink, or how to get, you know, how to get really bad credit.
I mean, run up a beer tab.
Run up a beer, exactly. And my thing to Dick Flair out there is this. Hey, Flair, pay Kerry Silkin his money. You owe the guy. You know you owe. So go ahead and pay him his money.
We present we do the interviews. We present the people here. We give them a forum to speak. You know, the Vince Russo, I'm going back to the Vince Russo interview, is we didn't kiss Vince Russo's butt. Okay? Give the guy credit for coming on this show and answering the hard questions. We talked about everything. All the pole matches, the Owen Hart situation. We got into everything. You know, when he was talking about ECW was an influence, I know that was the hot button to start the interview off. And he's talking about ECW, and he says, I give him credit. I put them over. It was an influence. But, Frank, I only saw three shows. And, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking three shows. You know, if somebody's an influence on you, I'm thinking about Daryl Hall and John Oates. They just won the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were influenced by the Motown sound, the 60s Motown. They grew up listening to Motown music. They didn't say they listened to three records and they were inspired to do Motown sound or inspire them to make that part of their music format or style. But when Vince Russo comes on here and says, yeah, I give them credit, but Frank, I think I saw three shows. We don't buy it. We're not going to kiss his butt. When he comes out here and says, Frank, until to this day, you said they did a crucifixion angle in ECW. I didn't even know that. Frank, get the shovels out. We're not going to buy that. He can say that, but at the end of the day, we're not going to let him have his deal on that because we didn't buy it for a second. We give you a format, and I appreciate the ability to come out here and say your mind, speak your piece, not be politically correct and say it like it is, as we always try to do here on this show. But when somebody comes on the show and they say things we don't agree with, I mean, we're going to point that out. We're not just going to kiss their butt because they did our show. We're going to continue to tell it like it is.
Right. And the ECW was a hot button topic to start the interview out there. I just kind of find it funny. WWE's The Monday Night War, they produced an episode of the influences of ECW on the Attitude Era. So,
right.
I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not going to come up here and say Russo is a liar or anything like that. What I'll say is that Russo has his opinion and I have my opinion. You got your opinion. And that's all I'm going to say like that. You know, everybody has their own opinion of the way they see things. And even Vince Russo stated that either we're going to, you know, believe him or we don't believe him. But at the end of the day, you know, we were all good. And that was it. End of that.
Yeah, I mean, by the flip side, you know, when people don't give Vince Russo any credit, I mean, we were talking about with the process of WWE writing right now. You
right.
got 30 writers, and this is the best show you can produce.
Yep.
And yet at a time when it was basically Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara writing most of what you saw during the good Monday Night War era, the Attitude Era, yeah, you got to give him credit. I mean, we can criticize him for saying he saw three ECW shows and never saw a crucifixion angle. But at the end of the day, you got to give him some credit for what he did with the Monday Night era and turning WWE around, WWF around.
Yep.
You know, that's another thing that bothers me too, Frank. While we're opening up a can on everything, I'm so sick of saying WWE. It's WWF. Because, you know, now you get to the point where you got to say WWE. Well, you know, when it was WWF Raw, it was WWF.
Right.
It wasn't WWE Raw during the Monday Night War era. It was WWF.
Right.
And I'm so sick of being, like, even Teddy Long and some of the other guys, they come out here and they say WWE this and WWE that. If you grew up WWF and you worked for the WWF and it was the WWF, I think Vince Russo did that too to a larger degree, everything WWE, WWE. It was WWF, and to a larger degree, it still feels like WWF. What is WWE?
You know, Steve, let me stop you right there, buddy, because I'm gonna say something here on that one. I'm going to say this. This, right now, we are in the WWE era, absolutely, because this is the era that sucks ass. It's not the WWF that we remember back in the day, because the WWF that we remember back in the day was actually entertaining. So they're right. This WWE and WWF are two separate, totally separate things. And I ain't talking about that other one out there that's called The Fund. Okay, I'm talking about the World Wrestling Federation of what it was. You know what? To me, there is a difference between the two.
Well, it's just that when we classify everything now as WWE, it was WWF.
Right, but...
And they just want to totally write out the history of WWF. Everything was now WWF. If you watch any interview they do, you talk about the Monday Night War era, WWE. We were the WWE. You were the WWF. Don't tell me you're WWE at that time.
But we know why they have to do that.
Well, I'm just saying from my perspective, I'm sick of hearing it.
Well,
when somebody does an interview and they talk about that era, it was a WWF. It wasn't WWE. Ted DiBiase does an interview. Oh, you know, in the 90s, the WWE was doing this. No, it was a WWF. Say it was WWF.
Well, Eric,
why did we lose WWF? I know they lost the lawsuit or whatever, but come on. It was still WWF at that time. Say it was the WWF.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you one thing that looks kind of stupid to me. When they'll be talking about something, and they'll be talking about the WWE, and they'll say, oh, well, back in the day, the WWE on Raw is war. And you'll see all these WWF scratch logos, right? And it's like, yeah, you guys were the WWE back then, but I see a damn F. You know, I get that. It just looks so ridiculous. It looks, you have to suspend belief on that one. I totally understand that.
That's my whole point, Frank. Okay, today, yeah, it is WWE. If I start working for WWE, I say I work for WWE. But when I'm talking about pre-2002 era, it's not WWE. Don't tell me it was WWE Monday Night War.
Right.
Don't tell me it was WWE Raw is War. It was WWF at that time, and say it was the WWF at that time.
Right.
Everything is now WWE. Like, that whole history was rewritten, and it's just WWE. And I guess to a certain degree, they try to rewrite history with the Monday Night Wars. Although I say, overall, I think they've been pretty genuine with the episodes I've seen. I have not seen the ECW Influence episode, because we don't have the WWE Network. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit, Frank, because, boy, we've talked a lot about WWE Network on this podcast. We've said it's good, it's bad, it's ugly. The edits, the screw-ups, the glitches. And here we are. We went through the six-month commitment with the network. We stayed loyal to it because we were committed to 6 months. As you say, Frank, if I make a commitment to something, I go through with it. I don't say, oh, I want out of my commitment. I don't want to pay for this anymore. We stayed with it. It expired. September came, and we both decided at this point we don't want the network anymore. It's not that I don't think it has value, and I understand people like, you know, we had what Frankie Kazarian saying, I could sit there and watch the Saturday Night's Main Event shows all day long.
Yeah.
Compared to what's on today. And at the end of the day, September came after a six-month commitment, and with all the glitches and all the missing episodes of shows, and not everything is there. There's no Bobby Heenan show. There's no WWF. Yes, Frank, WWF Superstars. There's no WWF Wrestling Challenge. There's no WWF Primetime Wrestling. I didn't see the value of keeping it, and I let my subscription expire.
Yeah, same with me. You know, I mean, you know, Steve, I'm a huge WCW fan. They launched Nitro on the network. That wasn't even enough to keep me on the network, because I look at all the crap that they've not put on the network, you know, and I look at the crap they have put on the network. Look at, like, Total Divas. I don't want to see Total Divas. Why are you taking up space with Total Divas that you can put on Sunday Night Heat, or put on Shotgun Saturday Night, or put on WCW Saturday Night, or WCW Pro, or Worldwide, or AWA, or more World Class, or more ECW Hardcore TV, or whatever. Although I will say, those ECW Hardcore TVs are unwatchable. They're just unwatchable. Just what they've done, they completely butchered those shows. And from what I understand, there's a lot of some of the Nitro episodes that are missing now. I haven't seen anything on there worthwhile to me that says I'm going to go and resubscribe right now to the WWE Network. The pay-per-views aren't going to do it for me. And I'm not talking about the classic pay-per-views. I'm talking about the pay-per-views of now. You know, we got Hell in a Cell coming up. And you know what? If I have no interest whatsoever right now in the WWE's product, why am I going to give a damn about them having a pay-per-view coming up? And I just got to subscribe to the WWE Network. Ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen with me either. I'm not feeling Hell in a Cell either. And I don't know the full card yet, but what I've seen so far, I don't care. And I think I've said this before on this podcast. You know, once the network is created, who cares about these B pay-per-views? You know, people are not going to order these B not going to order the network to watch the B pay-per-views. The product stinks. People are not watching Monday Night Raw. You give them a 3-hour Raw and it's a 2.6 rating. People are not watching SmackDown. They're not must-see shows, so they're not must-see pay-per-views. We've talked about some of the pay-per-views we've seen when we had the subscription. You know, some of them were good. Some of them were just average shows. And I just don't see a lot of effort put in the product right now. I guess to sum everything up with WWE is I don't see effort in the product. I don't see any creativity. I don't see storylines that are edgy. I don't see the new wave of superstars coming in, taking over. I don't see bringing in some of the TNA talent that could come in, like a Samoa Joe, a Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, that could make an impact, no pun intended, with the WWE product. I just don't see a lot of effort put into the product right now. And as I said, I don't even want to watch a 90-minute condensed version of Raw anymore. It's gotten that bad to me, Frank. And I guess I'm not alone because the rating's going down. It's not going up.
Right.
And they can say it's football is back on, but as I remember, Frank, during the Monday Night War era, football was on then too.
Yep.
So I'm tired of this excuse that this is on and that's on, that's on. Look in the mirror and just say your product sucks.
That's right.
That's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear this was on, that was on, this excuse. The president came on, the local TV station was showing news. I'm tired of it. Just say your product sucks, and let's change the culture right now. Let's go a little edgier. You know, something you've talked about is the potential faction with the African-American wrestlers. Now it looks like, Frank, after everything that we've talked about and everything they've teased, maybe they're going to finally do that faction.
Yeah, and I'm not liking what I'm reading about it either. I'm not too happy about what their plan is going to be, because what the plan looks like it's going to be right now is not what was teased when Xavier Woods did that promo on Monday Night Raw about them starting to take what they want and all that. When that promo happened, it really rang to me like a militant type of promo, like a Nation of Domination type promo. And right now, the names that they're coming up with for this, it sounds like some crap right out of the damn comic book. And I don't know, man.
Not feeling it.
Not feeling it at all. So I know what tonight I know tonight what I will be watching live and what I will be watching on DVR. I'll DVR Raw and check it out later to see if this faction is on there, but I'll be watching Gotham tonight on Fox.
Well, I won't be watching that, but I know I won't be watching Raw. Not to mention I don't even have satellite anymore. I for me to give up satellite, NFL's on tonight. I'm not even feeling the NFL season this year.
Because
of everything that's happened with the NFL, with Ray Rice, and they saw the video, they didn't see the video, Adrian Peterson. I'm not even feeling the NFL season anymore, Frank. So to say that it's NFL, I think that's, again, it's a cop-out.
Right.
You had NFL in 1999. It wasn't an issue. So why is it an issue in 2014?
People have to remember something back in the day when the NFL was out there with Monday Night Football. The NFL used to get killed by Raw and Nitro combined, and they actually had to adapt themselves and change the way they did TV in order to keep up with what was going on with pro wrestling, and that says a lot. Now, not so much.
Not so much, no. And, you know, and I apologize for the format today because we've been all over the map with what's going on. And we were talking about it before we did the show. It's like, let's just talk about it. Let's get into it. And yeah, I mean, I'm thinking back to that Frankie Kazarian interview, Frank. And I loved his honesty. And we asked him about Dixie Carter.
Right.
And what did he say? Same thing Vince Russo said. Nice woman. I care about her. She's really sweet. But. And that's the whole problem with TNA.
But.
You know, so many people you hear about, oh, they're a nice person, but. Well, every interview you hear about Dixie Carter, TNA, it's Dixie's really nice. She's really cool, but. And that's the whole problem with TNA is she's run the company for so long and she's ran it in the ground. And, you know, the audacity of Bob Carter to say, well, if you buy my company, you have to have my daughter in a prominent role in the transition. What?
Right.
And that's the reason TNA is going to die.
Yep.
We've heard now, oh, they're confident about getting a new TV network. They're not confident about getting a TV new network. Well, Frank, I mean, if I'm a network and I watch TNA wrestling right now, what is it about the show that I want to put it on my network?
You know, if you're a network, though, you better hope it's a network that doesn't really know anything about wrestling.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if they look at Spike TV and look at the TNA demographic of where TNA came from and where they're at now as far as the lack of talent, then they would not be getting a new TV deal. I don't know who they're going to go with. I mean, there's rumors going around, Steve, that it could be Country Music TV. It could be WGN America, whatever. I know that I have CMT, but I don't have WGN America. That could be changing, though, since Comcast and Time Warner are now merging together. But that's a different podcast for a different day. I don't know what the outcome is going to be here. I do know for one thing, is that TNA has taped all their shows in advance, I think up until November. So they're going to be shut down the rest of the year after Bound for Glory. And Dixie says that, you know, 2015, see, January 2015, they're going to have a new network. She guarantees that. So apparently they know something that we don't know.
Well, and maybe be watching the show by then.
January? I hope it works out for them. I hope it works out for them simply because of the talent that's down there. You know, the talent is going to need a place to work, and WWE is not going to really bring a lot of these guys in there, and that's unfortunate. Well, they could bring, you know, a Bobby Roode in there. They could bring in, you know, a guy like Kenny King, or I should say would even go further and bring in a guy like Bobby Lashley or bring in the Wolves. You know, I hope it works out for them because you always need another place to work. If anybody out there is saying to themselves, well, TNA needs to just go out of business or whatever, and you know something, my thing is why would you want another wrestling company to go out of business? Look at the crap that we've had to deal with WCW going out of business, with ECW going out of business. It's not been good. So I don't wish, you know, TNA to go out of business. I wish TNA to, you know, get their head out of their asses down there in Nashville and actually start producing compelling, gripping, episodic television that's going to get people excited and want to watch your pay-per-views and want to come to your shows. That's what I want to see TNA do. I want to see TNA grow, you know, and grow the right way. And hopefully, you know, after they get off of Spike TV and they have to start from the bottom to go right, you know, start from the bottom and start from scratch to get to the top, maybe that will change their mindset. I think, you know, a lot of it too, Steve, is that they've been on Spike TV for so long and they've gotten so complacent with things, they just thought that they were untouchable. And I think now they realize, you know what, we are not untouchable. We need to really change our game and the way we do business. And I think with a lot of these New York shows, they have been okay. I think they've been a lot better product than they ever did down there in Orlando. But they're going to have a change for the future. And if they're talking to their new network, hopefully it's a new network, it's a new TNA.
Well, if Dixie Carter is still in charge, nothing changes.
True.
That's my whole point. You can root for, yeah, maybe if they go to a new network, maybe they wake up. But Dixie Carter's still going to be in charge. And if Bob Carter doesn't sell the company, if somebody doesn't come in and take it over, nothing's going to change, Frank.
Yeah.
These guys aren't making any money. I mean, now they're talking that these TNA talents are finally going to be allowed to go work indie shows and pick up dates. Why weren't they allowed to do that in the first place?
Right.
I mean, they're not running any house shows.
Right.
So how do they expect these guys to pay their bills and to feed their family?
Right.
So, yeah, it's great that TNA is around as another company, but nobody's making any money in that company.
Yeah, the problem...
In fact, guys are in poverty, I bet, in that company.
Yeah, the problem is that, you know, they wanted to stop their talents from appearing on different indies that had, you know, TV or something like that. And that to me, Steve, is so WWE style mentality. And I posed that question to Mr. Theodore all along on the podcast we did, you know, a few weeks ago about this whole independent contractor thing. And, you know, he says that nobody, you know, that he knows has ever, you know, questioned it. And it must be legal. They're getting away with it somehow. And I do know that a couple of guys actually questioned it, and the case got thrown out of court or something happened there. But I don't understand, if you're an independent contractor, how it is that you're not allowed to go work anywhere you want.
He said he doesn't know how WWE gets away with it. I don't either.
Yeah.
It's maddening. It's insane.
Yep.
I mean, by law, an independent contractor says, if I have dates for you, you work for me on those dates.
Right.
Otherwise, you're independent.
Right.
Which means you can go elsewhere. I can do a signing down here, and I can work for the local indie show down here. Well, not under these contracts, you can't.
Right, it's like you're an independent contractor, but you're an independent contractor to WWE, but you have exclusive to them.
And that's another thing that angers me about the business, these independent contractors. You know, Vince is making money. These guys aren't.
Yep.
These guys just want to work and make money and be able to afford things and pay the bills. I mean, they have bills to pay. They have mortgages. They have car payments. They have car insurance, and they can't work this show because I got to get permission from the office.
Yep.
And if the office says no, I guess I'm not an independent contractor then, am I? Oh, yes, you are. We're going to book you here. We're going to book you there. And if we're not booking you, you go home.
Right.
You play ball with us, or you sit at home. And I can't believe it's taken this long for TNA. I mean, Frank, they haven't run regular house shows in how long now?
It's been a few months.
Yeah, other than doing the TV taping, that's all they're running.
And they had a problem drawing to the TV tapings in Bethlehem last week.
Yeah, what, 300 people for that TV taping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to really they need to really do something and think about, you know, what they're going to do, because that is just unacceptable to be drawing 300 people to a TV taping, and you are number two wrestling company in the world by default.
And I think it was Frankie Kazarian talked about, I love your question about, you know, how does it to go work for Ring of Honor and wrestle in front of a crowd?
Right.
Because you work the TNA shows and it's, you know, you run the stadium shows and 200 people show up.
Yep.
And I think he said on the interview, you know, we would go to a city and the fans wouldn't even know we were there.
Right.
Which is the reason you drew 250 people to a house show. That's the company. That's the promotion. How do they know, how do you run a city and nobody in the city knows you're there other than the people that read your website? Because you don't promote it on your TV show, you don't buy local advertising, you don't put it on local TV stations, you don't buy newspaper space, you don't get your guys on local radio stations to promote the show. I don't know. It's the lost art of promoting, Frank.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Crockett Promotions, he promoted the show. You get interviews. You go out and make appearances. You get the word out. And TNA runs a house show. Nobody says a word about it. And then we get pictures that 300 people are in a building somewhere.
Right.
With Sting on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
And another thing about Frankie Kazarian that I like, too, was we brought up Vince Russo. And what did he say about Vince Russo?
Sir.
He was at a pay-per-view. He's back there watching a baseball game.
Yeah.
Or at times, he didn't feel that he was really into it. You know, when you're the head of creative, it's your job to be creative and come up with things. And at times, he wasn't there, Frank.
Yeah. I can't, you know, I even said on the show when we were doing it with Kazarian, I said, that was weird. I've never heard of a situation where, you know, a guy who's writing your TV show doesn't have the interest in the show. He's back there watching a baseball game.
How sad is that?
It's not really sad. It's just weird. I've never seen anything like that before.
Well, here it is. You're writing this. He's talking about some match. I can't remember. He said, what, Beer Money against 3D or some match that has a big climax. So, something that you've been writing.
Right.
And here's the climax. Here's the blow-off at the pay-per-view, and you're watching baseball.
Yeah.
any wonder why TNA is in the position they are? I mean, where's Dixie Carter to say, turn the damn TV off? Go out there and watch your show.
Right.
You know, sometimes we hear that she don't even go to the shows, Dixie Carter.
Yeah.
Again, if they don't care, why do we care?
Right.
And that's what it comes down to. It's just a mentality. It's on TV, so watch it. Well, you know, as you were saying with Frankie Kazarian, you watch Son of Anarchy, right?
Right.
If you want to watch that and don't want to watch wrestling, watch that. If I want to watch Star Wars, I'm going to watch Star Wars.
Exactly.
Just because it's on TV, I'm not going to watch it. I got rid of my cable TV, people.
Yeah, and that was years.
I can't watch it.
Years. You had the DirecTV with the NFL Sunday Ticket. And when you told me you were getting rid of the satellite, I was like, what? On hell, that frozen over.
It kind of feels like it some days, but, you know, honestly, Monday night comes. I mean, honestly, Frank, it's Monday. We're doing this podcast. And you made a reference to tonight on Raw.
Right.
I wasn't even thinking about Raw. Here it is Monday. We do our podcast. We're getting our notes together. We're getting our thoughts together. We're doing show prep. Raw wasn't even on the scope of things to talk about.
No, it wasn't.
Not even on the radar.
Nope.
3 hour show. We're not even going to talk about it.
Nope.
I mean, if you want a show where they come out here and they recap segment by segment of Raw, go to it.
All right.
Have it. I'm not going to sit through a Raw. I'm not even going to sit through the 90-minute condensed version of the show because I really don't care.
No. If anything happens on Raw and I read it on Gerwick.net and I feel that we should talk about it, we'll talk about it next Monday. But don't hold your breath for it.
Yeah, I'm on my website reading the recap because I don't watch the show and I don't have access to the show and I don't even miss it.
Right.
Not even inkling. I don't miss Raw one bit. Even when they had, you know, you marked out for the NWO reunion.
Right.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I read it on the website. But okay, that's the best thing you got. NWO reunion.
We're gonna kiss
Hulk Hogan's ass for 3 hours.
Right. Well,
okay. I guess.
You know, the thing about that show was that they really didn't kiss his ass for 3 hours. They gave him that final segment, and, you know, you read about it later on, that Hogan was actually kind of pissed off that they put that 999 candles on his cake.
Oh, great.
Yeah. He was mad about that, brother.
Well, at least he's getting a paycheck, brother.
Exactly. And it's, like, crazy that in 2014, the biggest pop of the night went to Hall and Nash.
Yeah. Scott Hall, who couldn't find his pen.
Right.
I guess he still couldn't find his pen. He never did acknowledge that story. So.
No, he didn't. And Brett the Hitman Hart called him out about that.
Good know. For Brett.
Nothing's been said about it ever since then. So I guess it's just one of those things that people have just moved on.
Yep, never happened.
They moved on. But I want to say this right quick, Steve. Jake the Snake Roberts actually said that he's actually doing pretty good now. You know, he went for a biopsy for his lungs, and I guess the lung infection he had is now gone. So he still has some hurdles to get through, but he's very positive, and he feels he's going to pull through, and I think he will too. I mean, Jake St. Roberts is a guy who has really changed his life around, and you know what? Glad to say I'm a fan.
And I'm glad to hear that. I also want to acknowledge Big Vito got married over the weekend. He's been a good friend to the website and to me over the years, so I want to wish him success in his marriage. And, you know, on the flip side of that good, Frank, we didn't acknowledge this because we didn't do a regular podcast last week or so with the two interviews, but Paul Bearer's son died. He was 34 years old.
Right.
And, you know, I read that, and I was hoping it was just a false report, but it was true. One of his sons that was actually at the Hall of Fame ceremony passed away tragically at age 34. So I just want to send my condolences out to the Moody family if they're listening out there. I did interview Paul Bearer a few years ago. A great guy, great interview, very genuine. And I feel devastated by that. So I wish everybody out there, the friends, the family of Mr. Moody, you know, you're in my thoughts and prayers today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It just, you know, it really hits home for me. The guy was only 34 years old. And I'm going to be 31 October 17th. So it really, you know, hits close to me. And to die that young, it's just very, just, mind-boggling. So hopefully, you know, in the coming weeks, we'll find out exactly what the cause of death was.
Yep, just a real tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, you know, Paul Bearer just recently passed away, and then he had a chance to be put in the Hall of Fame, and it did remind me of, you know, that Hall of Fame this year, Frank.
The Warrior.
The Warrior passed away,
yeah.
And then we see the flip side with what's going on with Hall and Jake the Snake. I mean, what a year for that Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
When you reflect on it, but you know, again, our condolences to the Moody family out there.
Absolutely.
It's hard to transition away from that, but we do have some questions that we wanted to tackle. In fact, we're a little behind on questions because we didn't do any regular podcasting last week. We did two interviews with Teddy Long and Frankie Kazarian. And I want to, again, thank them, Teddy Long and Frankie Kazarian and Vince Russo, for giving us the time. They don't have to do those interviews. They go out of their way to be a part of the show, and I definitely appreciate it. And Frank, if they've not heard those interviews, I definitely recommend it. And it's one of those three rare interviews out there, Frank, where you can actually hear real discussion and not just how'd you break into the business.
Right, not the casual questions that a lot of these interviewers out there ask. You know, here's the thing that we pride ourselves here at Gerwig.net, and especially on the podcast, is that we don't ask the usual questions. We go beyond the scope of things. We ask the questions that real wrestling fans out there want to hear, you know. And on top of that, people, we encourage you to listen to the interview content that we have on here because it's free. It's not like we're out here shilling you and telling you, hey, you know, we're going to charge you $5 a month or we're going to charge you $9.99 or whatever. You know, it's free. So when something is free, take advantage of it. And all we want to do is promote the fact that we do a pretty good show here, and we have top-of-the-line guests. So go check it out. Gerwig.net, audio section, Russo, you know, Teddy Long, Kazarian, and we got more to come.
It's just genuine. You know, our format was out the window today. We did do some show prep. I know it probably doesn't sound like you're listening to this podcast today,
right,
but we threw it out the window because we're just passionate about WWE. We're passionate about TNA. We want these shows to do well. We want these companies to do well. I want everybody in these companies to do well, make money,
yep,
be successful, draw ratings. Because, I mean, by default, I mean, I benefit too.
Yep.
I was telling Frank before we did this podcast, wrestling is so boring to me right now. The news is boring.
Yep.
I'm covering wrestling. I mean, it wasn't for the website and doing this podcast, Frank, I would turn it off.
Yeah.
And I really feel for the fans out there that really like wrestling, but where is it?
True.
It's just not there. I mean, unless you have ROH out there, there is no wrestling going on. I mean, you can get the network if you can sit through all the sliced footage.
Yep.
And all the edits.
Yeah, and that's being nice about it.
Again, how do you launch a WWE network and not have the Nitro episodes there?
Right.
Or AWA? I don't get it.
Yep.
I mean, we tried to give them the benefit of the doubt, and here we are in September, and a lot of those episodes are missing or not there, and still no AWA.
Right.
Other than the documentary. The documentary is the only thing AWA related is the documentary.
Right.
Yeah. You can get more AWA watching ESPN, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, and then you read the stories, Steve, about, and then we'll get to the listener questions. You read the stories about, you know, Triple H and Stephanie being at odds right now with George Berrios and Michelle Wilson, and these are the two people that were put in charge of launching these networks and getting the TV deal for WWE, and yeah, they're kind of mad about that, about how this network is going.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling right now what's going on, and you know, Frank, if there's a power struggle, maybe something will change because this status quo is just not working.
Well, if there's a power struggle going on right now in WWE when it relates to George Berrios and Michelle Wilson versus Trips and Stephanie, we already know who's going to, you know, be on the losing end of that one.
Who do you think?
I pretty much know it's going to be old Berrios and Wilson. They're going to be out of there.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, let's get to the questions here. We apologize because we were a little behind with questions because, as I said, we did two interviews last week, and I want to acknowledge because these questions are about 3 weeks old, but still, We want to address them here. And if you want to email us, GerwickReport@Gerwick.net, or we'll plug our social media at the end. First one's from Chris Lapin from the UK, Liverpool, to be exact. Appreciate our UK listeners out there, Frank.
Cool.
I said, would you and Frank be interested in a Money in the Bank match with NXT wrestlers with a WWE contract in the briefcase? You know, Frank, I said it before, I'm just not into NXT. I think the Money in the Bank thing has been so watered down now that I'm not really feeling Money in the Bank anymore. I liked it when it was part of WrestleMania, something special. To answer your question, you know, bluntly, I would say no.
I would be interested in that, but it would only happen on the NXT TV show. Not necessarily having a full Money in the Bank ladder match at the pay-per-view with NXT wrestlers. The problem that you're going to run into with that is that you're going to have an audience out there that doesn't know who these guys are. And because there's only, you know, so many people out there, you know, that watch NXT on the network and so many network subscribers. And speaking of the UK there, Steve, you know, a lot of people may not know this because of a lack of promotion, but the WWE Network actually launches in the UK on October 1st.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and but you would never know it because WWE is not making a big deal about it for some reason. I don't know what's up with that. I hope it's not a situation where it's a WWE net pack like in Canada, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yep, as usual, just kind of wait and see.
Yeah. But to going back to that, though, I would think, you know, that a match like that would just, like I said, be on the NXT TV show, and it's something that they can fight for on there, and the winner gets, you know, a contract to go to Raw or SmackDown or whatever situation like that. I like the idea, but only on the NXT TV show. Because if you put a Money in the Bank match out there on a pay-per-view and it's just got NXT wrestlers, the thing that will happen is that that match is can be the best match of the night. They're going to outshine the WWE superstars. And, you know, Vince ain't going to like that.
You know, on the premise, too, the reason I would say no, it's not just because I'm not an NXT person, but the original idea of Money in the Bank was you won a title shot at the champion. That's, to me, what it should be all about. You have a money in the, you have a title opportunity in the bank. That's the whole idea of what Money in the Bank was. I know we've kind of, it's been watered down. He had a process where he had two Money in the Banks because you had a Raw and a SmackDown champion. I just like to see him go back to putting Money in the Bank back on WrestleMania. Whoever wins the Money in the Bank has a chance at a championship somewhere down the line that year. The current format, I don't like it as part of its own pay-per-view.
Yeah,
I just don't buy that. And especially, you know, really, Frank, over the years, they've kind of lost some of the guys that really make that Money in the Bank match something special.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It used to be Shelton Benjamin, and now Shelton Benjamin's been replaced by Kofi. So,
right.
You know, to come up with those, you know, come up with those spots in the match. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of them having its own pay-per-view either. I've never been a fan of that. It's just WWE. I mean, to me, you know, having its own pay-per-view kind of like Hell in a Cell, you're killing that gimmick. You're watering that gimmick down.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to say, and that Frank articulated right there.
Yeah.
And then let's get to Ravon. He's got a couple questions for us, and he's got, first, do you think the British Bulldog should have won the WWE? Here we go again, Frank. Do you think the British Bulldog should have won the WWE Championship? Actually, WWF Championship, just so that we note that. And not to, you know, rag on Ravon here, but, yeah, when he was in the Whip, it was WWF.
Right.
So do you think he should have won the championship during his run in WWF? And really, Frank, it's kind of mind-boggling, as hot as the British Bulldog was at one time, Davey Boy Smith, that he didn't get at least one chance at the WWE championship, or actually the WWF championship.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that he didn't become the WWF champion. I'll do it like that, like they used to do on the DVDs. And not win that belt. I'm really surprised. You know, he was doing a lot of great matches back in the day with Bret Hart over that championship. I don't know why he didn't get the belt, but yeah, he should have had the belt just like Rick Rude should have had that belt.
Maybe we just not say WWF or WWE and just say the Whip.
Hey, that's what I call him.
Yeah. So should he have won the Whip championship? Absolutely.
Yep.
And it's a travesty today because I see it online with with Diana Hart on social media and his daughter Georgia start petitions to have the British Bulldog put in the Whip Hall of Fame. And not only is it an injustice that he never won the Whip Championship, it's a shame he's not in the Whip Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I can't understand that one either.
No, that's a great singles wrestler, great tag team wrestler with the British Bulldogs. It's mind-boggling he's not there, Frank.
Yeah, it really is. I don't understand it. Just like I don't understand Rick Rude not being in it.
I guess if you talk about those two, it's because they died when they were 40. But then again, you do have Mr. Perfect in.
True.
So I don't know. It's politics. That's my whole issue with the Whip Hall of Fame. It's all politics. Let's see. His second question is who do you think was the greatest manager in the Whip? And he puts my favorite three were Bobby the Brain Heenan, Paul Heyman, and Paul Bearer. And his least favorite he put here, Abraham Washington, Bill Alfonso, and Vincent from the NWO. I have to say, Frank, I've always said it. I've always thought Bobby the Brain Heenan was the greatest wrestling manager in the history of professional wrestling. So I have to go with the Brain.
I'm going to have to go with Bobby Heenan, but I'm going to have to put in Paul Bearer as a close second because of the amount of angles that Paul Bearer was involved in WWE. I mean, if you're looking back on it, if it hadn't been for a Paul Bearer, there would have really been no Undertaker. And I know people are going to say, well, you know, Brother Love managed the Undertaker first. Right, he did. But the whole aura and the essence of Undertaker really came about when he got aligned with Paul Bearer.
You know, maybe we could say this for another podcast, but worst managers. And he put Abraham Washington, Alfonso, Bill Alfonso, and Vincent. I don't know if I really consider Vincent a manager, but when you think of like really bad wrestling managers, who comes to mind?
Wow, that's a good question.
Because I think you were talking about like Clarence Mason with the Nation of Domination. I don't know if he was all that successful as a manager.
He was actually aligned with Camp Cornette back in the day too.
Right.
And then they transitioned him over to the Nation. He was all right for the role he did. I mean, I wouldn't call him a big deal, but as far as wrestling managers go, the worst wrestling managers go. I have to go right now with saying that one of the ones that I didn't particularly care for was Harvey Whippleman.
That's true. I agree with that one.
I would go.
He came to mind too. He came to mind too.
Yeah, Harvey Whippleman would be one. I didn't care for what's that other one that he managed the Bushwhackers? Oh, Jameson.
Jameson?
Yeah.
Well, I don't even hardly remember that guy.
Yeah, Jameson was the nerdy guy with the Bushwhackers back in the day.
Okay.
So I didn't really care for him either.
Yeah, I said we grew up on an era where the wrestling managers were really good.
Right.
That's the thing. You know, yeah. Jim Cornette, Jimmy Hart, Bobby the Brain, Slick, Teddy Long. That we really didn't have a lot of bad wrestling managers.
No.
James J. Dillon was a good manager with the Horsemen. So we probably got spoiled growing up with all these really good wrestling managers. And now there are no wrestling managers, so it's even hard to compare today to back then.
Exactly.
But we definitely do appreciate your question there, Ravon, and that could be another topic some other day is, I don't know, we'll throw it out to the fans out there. Listen, who is the worst wrestling manager of all time? Say maybe Colonel Parker was not a good wrestling manager.
Colonel Parker made me laugh. He was Robert Fuller as Colonel Parker was funny as hell.
And then, of course, now in recent years, we had the valet era. A lot of valets were taking over the manager role.
Worst valet era. Worst valet ever in the business.
Major Guns?
Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George. Interesting name.
Oh, yeah. Two reasons why she was out there.
Well, same thing with Major Guns.
Yeah. Was there Ty Lee Buck or somebody like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, she was a porn star.
And she's a porn star. Well, I mean, George was a stripper, right?
True. That's what I said. She had two reasons why she was out there. I bet she knows why Savage ain't in the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, she probably knows. Not that many people know. We've put people on the spot here, and nobody's actually blurted it out. But, yeah, I bet she does.
Although I do believe, Steve, that he will be getting in next year.
I don't know. I'm kind of like, believe it when I see it.
Well, we got a huge Macho Man Randy Savage Blu-ray DVD set coming up with Randy Poffo and their mothers on the set involved in the production of the set as well. So I definitely think that Savage will go in next year, and I definitely think we'll see Stinger coming in very shortly too.
Yeah, let me say this real quick about Randy Savage, okay? Because we've talked about Randy Savage. What an injustice he's not in the Hall of Fame already. And he's going to get in eventually. I do believe eventually he's going to get in. And maybe next year. I don't know. But doesn't it kind of lose its luster a little bit that Randy is so far down the list that we're talking about him for next year? And, I mean, it's going to be great when he does get in and finally get the honors he deserves. But doesn't it kind of lose the luster when you've had so many guys who didn't really deserve it in ahead of Randy Savage?
Yeah, you know, it sucks, but I'm going to tell you the truth, honestly, Steve. I didn't used to give a damn about the Hall of Fame. I could care less about it. It really started making me wonder about Macho when I would see people get in, you know, like, and this is not a knock against any of these talents. I'm just putting it into perspective about why these guys got in and why one didn't. I look at Bret the Hitman Hart. You know, he got in. And then, you know, Dick Flair got in twice. Why wouldn't they induct Macho Man in there? And I'm pretty sure Hogan's going to get in there a second time as well when they finally induct the NWO as a unit.
True.
So why isn't Savage there? I mean, you know, I get your point that it kind of takes it's a lackluster thing, and it kind of takes away the luster. But I do believe that when Macho Man finally gets inducted there, it's going to be a big deal. I just wish they would have not had their head up their ass for so long, and they could have done it while the guy was alive.
That's right. I was just thinking that Hall is in, but Kevin Nash is not in the Hall of Fame, right?
Right.
So it'd be kind of interesting if they put Kevin Nash in the Hall of Fame as NWO before they put in Kevin Nash individually.
I think they'll put in Kevin Nash individually. I mean, Kevin Nash has made it very clear, though. He has gone on record saying, I'm not going in there as Diesel.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. he says, hell no. I'm not going to go in there as Diesel. No, you're gonna put me in. That's why I thought it was kind of stupid that they inducted Hall this year as Razor Ramon. But his Hall of Fame ring says Scott Hall. But they wanted him to come out as Razor Ramon. That was dumb.
Very dumb. Yep. And then lastly, we heard from Dakari Adamson, who is Ravon's cousin. And he said, do you think if Eddie Guerrero hadn't passed away in November 2005, do you think Rey Mysterio would have gotten a big push and still won the world championship? And based on what he said, the way he asked this question, it would definitely imply no. And knowing the way Rey was going at that time, I would tend to think had Eddie not passed away, Rey would have never won the championship.
I think that if Eddie hadn't passed away and Eddie would have went with Ray, God, I'm remembering at that time frame what was going on before Eddie died. Eddie was wrestling. I believe he was going to wrestle, or had been wrestling Batista. Or they were going to do something. I think they had maybe been tag partners on one of the shows, whatever. But if they had have had a situation where Eddie would have won the championship and he was maybe feuding with Rey Mysterio again, we might have saw Mysterio get a fluke win, and he got the belt. But that's the only reason why I would have seen him get the championship on the flutes. The guy sells merchandise, whatever. He sold those masks. But to me, Rey Mysterio was never, ever World Heavyweight Champion material.
I would tend to agree with that. I always think of him more as a junior heavyweight or a cruiserweight.
Yeah, so him out there with big gold, it just looks stupid.
And then that night, Hall and Nash throw him into the truck?
Right.
So here he is, you know, he's supposed to be the heavyweight champion, and here he is just being tossed into the truck like he's weighs about 50 pounds.
Yeah.
That was my whole thing with Ray. Ray was always a great wrestler. It's hard for me to really buy that he's beating all these bigger guys all the time.
Right, yeah.
So So I tend to think he probably wouldn't have, but I guess we'll never know. That's the thing with that.
Yeah.
As always, we definitely appreciate you listening to the podcast, supporting the podcast, definitely on Facebook, Twitter, social media. Put the word out about Gerwick Report podcast. I think if you listen to this whole podcast, and thank you if you did, you see that we're just two genuine wrestling fans that are very frustrated. We both want wrestling to do well. We don't criticize wrestling to say wrestling stinks, that it has no future. We want it to turn around, and we want it to be successful. I'd love to see WWE, WWF, the Whip, get hot again, but I just don't see it right now. I don't see TNA really having a future, Frank, because Dixie's not going to sell the company, or the Carters are not going to sell the company, and Dixie's still going to be there. At the end of the day, if they listen to this podcast and they support it, put the word out there. And I think this podcast really showed that, we're just two diehard wrestling fans that really want wrestling to catch fire again.
Yeah. Yeah, I want the business to do good. I want the business to be exciting. I want the business to have, sell out houses everywhere they go. I want wrestlers to make money. Wrestlers work too hard bumping around on that mat to not have anything to show for it. So I want to see them, be successful and do better. And hopefully, like I said, once TNA management, eventually gets their head out of their ass, they can probably save it before it's too late. But right now, it's looking really, really scary.
And I also want to encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the Vince Russo interview, the Teddy Long interview, the Frankie Kazarian interview, they are available archived at Gerwick.net. There's an audio section at the bottom of the page. Put the word out about those interviews. We thought they were very genuine. They were very real. Shoot from the hip, not pull any punches. If you haven't listened to those, definitely go to iTunes, download it. You can listen to us on Stitcher, on Spreaker, and tune in as well. There's a lot of platforms you can listen to us on. And, of course, as Frank always points out, it's free. We're not charging $4.99 a month or $3.99 a month or whatever WWE charges a month. That, we're putting out premium content. We're not charging you a dime. It's commercial-free radio other than a plug in my website. But it's just two wrestling fans, sometimes with a guest, that tells it like it is and just trying to, live the glory of professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
So, again, if you support the website at Gerwick.net, put the word out about the podcast. We definitely would appreciate it. We should mention real quickly as well, Gerwick Report is on Twitter, at Gerwick Report, all one word. I'm on Twitter at Gerwick. I'm also on the anti-NWO Twitter as well, if you want to fight the real New World Order, not the NWO that was in WCW and WWF at that time? For
I think it was,
actually, yeah. No, WWE. Maybe it was WWE. I don't know. Whatever. The Whip. Definitely support Steve Gerwick on Twitter. And Frank D., you're on Twitter as well.
Right. Real Frank D-E-E at Twitter.com. Check me out. Look me up. Come holler at me.
There you go. So we appreciate you listening to this edition of the podcast, and we'll be back soon with another great edition of the Gerwick Report podcast.